Perhaps this question that I'm going to ask is not something for our own day, but for all ages. But I wonder how much wisdom is valued these days. I'm not talking about knowledge, because I think people actually do desire knowledge. They research things, they chase after knowledge, they like facts, they like to know about things. But wisdom, is wisdom something that is valued these days? Wisdom is what Solomon wanted. Solomon, who wrote this book under the Holy Spirit. You remember, or you may not know, that Solomon was granted an opportunity by God to have anything that he desired, and he asked for wisdom. He didn't ask for money or fame. These, in fact, came afterwards. But he asked chiefly for wisdom. But I wonder what the average person would ask for if they were given that opportunity. You have to imagine it, of course. Most of them, I think, would ask for money or fame or perhaps an ideal relationship. And that's why we see, I heard on the radio the other day with regards to money, someone said that I've received the best phone call possible when the National Lottery rang that person up and said that you've won the lottery, and they were overjoyed with that. Or perhaps fame. How many people want to be famous now? It seems to be even more of a craze than it was even a few years ago. Or perhaps someone wants the perfect relationship, and that's why there's been this surge in internet dating sites. But what about wisdom? Are people craving wisdom? Look at the prominence and preeminence that wisdom is put forward as in this passage. What about you? Do you value wisdom? Would you have asked for wisdom if you had been in that place, hypothetically, of course? Well, wisdom should be highly valued by us all. Wisdom in this passage is valued more than gold or rubies. Wisdom here is the personification of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. But he and his wisdom are largely ignored. Would you not agree with that? That as he cries out, it falls on deaf ears. One proverb says, if you've never read the book of Proverbs, I'd encourage you to do so, says that there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the way it leads to death. It might seem right to ignore this voice of wisdom, but in the way it leads to death. And this is the problem with ignoring wisdom. As the Lord Jesus Christ cries out publicly through the preaching of his word or the reading of his word, it's not just advice that is given through him. It is life. It is life. Look at verse 35 here of chapter 8. Whoever finds me, in other words, Christ or wisdom, finds life. And then it goes on to say, whoever sins against me, in other words, does not listen to me, wrongs against his own soul, and those who hate me love death. And that's the problem with ignoring Christ. The consequences are severe. It's not that you will miss out only in this life. You will miss out also in the life to come if you ignore Christ. We hear about calamity in this life, which often comes if you don't heed the voice of Christ, that life just becomes a mess when we turn away from the knowledge of Christ and his wisdom, and calamity follows. It doesn't always happen in this life, but it does happen a lot. But there's far more severe calamity to come if you ignore Christ. Jesus spoke the Christ. He spoke about the man who built his life on the sand. Do you remember that? And when the storms came, because he hadn't built his life upon Christ and his word, the house fell flat. And so not listening to Christ, his wisdom, could bring and may well possibly bring calamity in this life, but there's more to come in the life to come. And so it's very important, therefore, that we hear this cry. It's a blessing that we hear this cry. He cries out publicly. He wants to tell you this. He doesn't desire anyone to perish. And so we are to heed this call. So this morning, let us hear his cry. Whether we've been a Christian for a long time or that we're not a Christian at all, we are always to listen to Christ, who is personified here as wisdom. And let us consider these things. First of all, the source of wisdom, then the value of wisdom, and then we are called to heed the call of wisdom. So first of all, the source of wisdom. If wisdom is so important, and it is, as we've seen in this passage, then we need to know the source of wisdom. Where do we go to find it? Well, the source of wisdom is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the source of all wisdom. Not even Solomon, who wrote this book and was given wisdom in a way that no other man has received it, can match the wisdom of Christ. You remember when the Lord Jesus Christ was teaching that he said, "One greater than Solomon is here." Do you remember that in the Gospels? What he was saying, what Solomon was great, that God gave him wisdom, but I am greater than he, and I have more authority than he. The Lord Jesus Christ has supreme wisdom. He is the ultimate source of wisdom. How can this be? If Solomon was the greatest man that ever lived in terms of wisdom, bar the Lord Jesus Christ, how can it be? Well, the answer is that Jesus Christ is no mere man. He is a man, but he's no mere man. Indeed, this passage takes great length to remind us of who he is, his identity. He reminds us that he is the eternal Son of God. Yes, he took on flesh to become a man and to live a man in this life, but he's the eternal Son of God, here personified or pictured as a lady crying out. What does the passage tell us? In verse 23 of chapter 8, it says, "I have been established from everlasting, from the beginning, before there was ever and earth." That's not saying that at some point he was created. It's saying, look at the preface there, "I have been established from everlasting." Some people say that Christ was created or the Son of God came about at some point, even if it was before the creation. That is heresy. The Son of God is everlasting. He is established. He had no beginning. He is from everlasting. He's fully God, equal in power and glory with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. And therefore, we have to say that along with the Holy God the Father and God the Holy Spirit, he has and exhibits the divine wisdom. He alone is wise, as it says in Timothy and in Romans. God alone is wise. Do you remember that verse? He dwells in inapproachable light. God alone is wise. And Jesus, the Son of God, because he is the Son of God, shares in that wisdom. And we see glimpses of God's infinite wisdom in the creation of the heavens and the earth. Now, why is the creation highlighted in this passage? Of all things that could demonstrate the wisdom of God, well, just think about the wisdom that was needed to make the heavens and the earth. Last week, Paul was talking about, amongst other things, the power needed to make the created order, the heavens and the earth. But think about the wisdom also. The wisdom needed to make the heavens and the earth. Look at some of these things in verse 27 onwards. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep. When he established the clouds above. When he strengthened the fountains of the deep. When he assigned to the sea its limit, so that the waters could not transgress his command. When he marked out the foundations of the earth, what does it say? Then I was beside him as a master craftsman. Think about the craftsmanship of creating the world and the heavens. What wisdom was needed in doing that? Power, yes, but wisdom also. We can read over these things. When he established the clouds above and the sea and all that is within them, the wisdom demonstrated there. You see, the Son of God was not there as a mere spectator. We know from John chapter 1 that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. And so, he is the Son of God, demonstrating the wisdom of God, being there with the Father and the Spirit at creation, demonstrating that he is infinite wisdom. So can you see the logic of the argument here? He's saying that I am wisdom, I am the Son of God. I was there at the beginning, not created, but before, as from everlasting. And I exhibited great wisdom along with the Father and Son, the Father and the Spirit, making the created order. And therefore, you should listen to me. If we hadn't come across this passage and had somehow stumbled across the Gospels, we would have seen this already, the wisdom of Christ in his teaching. We read in the Gospels, we've been saying it in Mark, how he is filled with wisdom, that the Spirit of wisdom rested upon him. Remember, as the Lord Jesus Christ taught, how the people identified him as one excelling in wisdom. Mark chapter 6, we saw a few months ago, after the crowd heard Jesus teach, they ask themselves, where did this man get these things? And what wisdom is this which is given to him? You see it in the creation. And when he takes on flesh and comes to teach, that people can see his wisdom. It's unparalleled. Luke in his gospel simply calls the Lord Jesus Christ at one point wisdom. I think it's Luke chapter 11. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ is wisdom embodied. If you want to know what wisdom is, look to him and hear him. What a blessing it is to hear him. We see this in the passage, don't we? Blessed, chapter 8, verse 34. Blessed is the man who listens to me. Blessed is the man who listens to me. It is a blessing to hear Christ, the wisdom embodied, preached or read. Well, why is it a blessing? Because he speaks, as it says in this passage in verse 6, excellent things. He speaks excellent things. Listen, for I will speak excellent things. What are the excellent things that he teaches? Well, there are several things here. I'm not going to mention them all. You might want to look at them later on. Things like the fact that he spoke plainly. You know, with all that wisdom, how often we've seen people with all sorts of letters after their names speaking in a way that is not plain. But the Lord Jesus Christ, infinite wisdom, spoke very plainly. It was instructive truth. It wasn't simply knowledge. It was instructive. But I want to focus on one particular element of his teaching, and that is the fact that he spoke the truth. In verse 6, we see, for my mouth will speak truth. My mouth will speak truth. How frustrating it is when the so-called experts of our own age speak lies or half-truths. They claim to be wise, but they're not. But the Lord Jesus Christ does not deceive. He can be trusted. We see in verse 6 and 8, what does it say? There is nothing crooked or perverse in his words. All my words are with righteousness. Nothing crooked or perverse is in them. We can believe everything that the Lord Jesus Christ teaches. Telling lies is wickedness. And he says that wickedness is an abomination to my lips. If ever there was a shade of darkness or untruth in Jesus Christ, we can't even imagine that. It's not possible. Wickedness is an abomination to his lips. He goes on to say in verse 13, the perverse mouth I hate. You see, the Son of God speaks truth, and he speaks nothing but the truth. He reveals himself as the way, the truth, and the life in the Gospels. It is impossible for him to lie. If we're talking about any other man, then that's not true, but this is the Son of God. It says that all his words are truth. All his words. He is the embodiment of a fancy word, veracity. He can be trusted. There is no other teacher like him. He stands out and he cries out, listen to me, I can be trusted. I was there at the beginning. My ministry has proved it. Listen to me. There is a teacher like none other. And so can you see, secondly, and more briefly, the value of Christ's wisdom? This is why this teaching that is like no other is likened to rubies, or said to be better than gold in the passage here. Having the wisdom of Christ, having access to it, having our eyes opened, is more precious than anything in this world. Do you believe that? What do you chase after? Do you chase after the wisdom of Christ? It's more valuable because the consequences of knowing the wisdom of Christ is better than anything. Verse 19 says, my fruit is better than gold, yes, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. Why does he use that word fruit? My fruit is better than gold. Well, fruit is the end product, isn't it? You know, we plant something, we water something, and then the fruit comes forth. And the fruit of wisdom is better than anything that we can have. You can't put a price on the fruit of wisdom. Verse 11 says, all the things one may desire cannot be compared with her. When someone applies the wisdom of Christ to themselves, there's great reward. Solomon says that those who love wisdom find that riches and honor accompany it. And that verse 21, I may cause those to inherit wealth, that I may fill their treasuries. Now, what it's saying there is that following Christ in this life will mean that you're blessed in Following Christ will mean that you're blessed in this life and the next. I'll explain what I mean. If you follow Christ in his wisdom, if you're steeped in this word of God that he has revealed to you, your life will be blessed. There's all kinds of advice here, all kinds of wisdom in the Bible that touches on every area of life, whether that's family life, whether that's your work life, whether it's calling, how you interact with money, what to do with your time. It's a very practical book, this word of God. And if you follow it, you will be blessed in this life. You will find riches. It may not mean material riches, that you have more money in your bank account, but riches that are actually worth having. You will find that the fruit of adhering to the wisdom of Christ is better than gold. I'll give you an illustration. Someone back in Northern Ireland is a Christian, has been for about 60 years, and he's got many grandchildren and great-grandchildren. He didn't get well paid in his job, but he's seen the fruit of his children and grandchildren, I think great-grandchildren now, continuing in the faith. You see, the wisdom of Christ, you can't put a price on that, can you? You could be a millionaire and yet have nothing. And yet you can see the wisdom of Christ, whether you can look back in your life and say, I've honoured Christ in my job. The fruit of that is better. However, the call to wisdom here is also not just for this life only, but for the next. You see, there's a life to come. And this wisdom, this cry of wisdom is going out to hear us. And it speaks to our eternal condition. The Lord Jesus Christ cries out. Remember, he came into this world and he often cried out to preach. He'd often go up on a high hill, like the Proverbs tell us here. And he would cry out by the gates, verse 3, at the entry of the city. To you, verse 4, all men I call. Christ would preach to all that came to him. What would he preach? Well, he would teach them, but he also preached the gospel. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. We've been hearing recently that he would be going to die on a cross. Again, if you mention the cross to people, it's just foolishness. So the Bible tells us that you mention Jesus Christ dying on the cross for someone's sins, and they'll call it foolishness. How can someone dying 2,000 years ago pay the price of sinners? How can someone die and actually release one sinner? It's foolishness to people. And yet, this is the wisdom of God, that he has confounded the wisdom of man through this plan of salvation, that dying on the cross, he was actually confounding the devil. He made a public spectacle of him, Scripture says. But he was satisfying his divine justice by having Christ die on the cross and paying for the sins of his people. And many of us here have been made aware of that great wisdom. Christ has become wisdom to us. We have found life by heeding that call of Christ in the gospel. And it's priceless. It's priceless. We may have nothing in this life, in the world's eyes, but we've got Christ, the pearl of great price. And so finally, I just want to make an appeal for wisdom, a cry for wisdom. Do you want to be truly blessed? Because as the minister of the gospel preaches to you, he doesn't want your life to be miserable. As Christ preaches to you, he doesn't want you to suffer. Do you notice how it's said that those who follow him and heed his cry are blessed? Verse 34, blessed is the man who listens to me. God wants to bless people. If they don't heed him, then they will miss out on blessing. But if you do heed, there is blessing there. Do you want to be truly blessed? Then heed the call of Christ and listen to his wisdom. Look how in this passage there is this action that is needed. We are not a spectacle to Christ's wisdom. We have to pursue it. Those who seek me diligently will find me. Are you seeking Christ diligently and his wisdom? He has laid out in a very picturesque way. Chapter 9, verse 1. She has built her house. She has slaughtered her meat. She has mixed her wine, etc. She has sent out maidens. She cries out, etc. In other words, it's there for the taking. All you have to do is pursue it. There's a free meal here, as it were. Christ has offered himself and his wisdom, and all you have to do is come. Whoever is simple, you don't have to be wise in the first place, verse 4. Says, whoever is simple, let him turn in here. As for him who lacks understanding, it's not that you have to get to a certain wisdom and then come to Christ. As for him who lacks understanding, she says to him, come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine I have mixed. Forsake foolishness and live, and go in the way of understanding. Are you pursuing the wisdom of Christ? Are you waiting at the daily at the gates, as it says in verse 34? Wisdom is the most precious thing. Are you pursuing the wisdom of Christ? How do we do that? Well, through his word. He reveals himself. It's not just reading the Proverbs. They give us wisdom in all areas of life. I encourage you to read them. And someone once gave me a tip. There's 31 chapters in Proverbs. There's mostly 30 or 31 days in the months of the year. Why not take a chapter each day and read the Proverbs? But it's not just simply the Proverbs. It's not just simply the wisdom literature. It's the whole of the Bible. Are you steeped in the wisdom of Christ? Each day are you at his gates listening to him, meekly receiving from him, seeking to be conformed to the image of Christ, having our minds transformed by his wisdom? If not, I think you haven't rightly appreciated the wisdom of Christ. The fruit of wisdom is great gain. Remember, as I close, this is what God the Son says. Blessed is the man who listens to me. Verse 34, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors, for whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who sins against me wrongs his own soul, and those who hate me love death. So hear Christ calling out daily and chase after it and gain a heart of wisdom. Let us continue to